Today's shiur is Masechta Rosh Hashanah Daf Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Gimel Amud Beis at the bottom line, Maskala Rav Kahana. In our previous shiur, we had learned that Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta taught us that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim. That we count the years of a king, we count it from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So the Gemara said, that's only by Malchi Yisrael. But when we speak about Malchi Umas Olam, the kings of the nations of the world, then we count from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And the Gemara had asked the question from Kairish, where on one hand we see that by Kairish they counted from Nisan, and on the other hand we find that by Kairish they counted from Tishrei. How do we reconcile? So Gemara says, the reason that they counted for Kairish from Tishrei, from Nisan, because Melech Kosher Haya. But then the Gemara proved that they counted for Kairish from Tishrei. So the Gemara said, Shehichmetz. Kairish got spoiled. Hichmetz means to spoil. And what happened was that originally Kairish indeed was a great king and a great tzaddik. But what happened was ultimately he wasn't that anymore. He wasn't on that madrega anymore. Because he wasn't on that madrega anymore, Hichmetz, that's why they started counting for him like they counted for the kings of the Umas Ha'olam. Maskala Rav Kahana, to which Rav Kahana asks, Omi Hichmetz, is it true that Kairish wasn't what he was? V'ksiv, the Pasuk describes that the Yavish sends a letter when they're building the Beis HaMikdash. And he said, whatever they need, they tyran, the dichran, the imrim, birds, animals, la lon la koshmaim, to bring us kabonis for Kodesh Baruch Hu, hinten melech, chamar, umeshach, hinten means wheat, melech, salt, chamar is wine, umeshach, oil, kamama, kahana, de bushlaim. Everything the Kohanim in Yerushalayim say they need, lahava mishayav lam yoyim biyoyim deloy shaloi. They should be given to them whatever they need on a daily basis without any delay. So we see that he was extremely generous and was donating food to the Beis HaMikdash on a regular basis. Answers the Gemara, Amalei Rav Yitzchak. So Rav Yitzchak responded to Rav Kahana, Rebbe Metunach, exactly what you said is the proof that he was not what he should, was not the way he should be. To have him cry in the Chaycha L'Kai Shemayim, because he said, I want all of these different items should be donated to be brought as kabbonos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, U'metzlayin L'Chayim Malka Benoi, in order that they should daven for the life and the success of the king and his children. So we see from here that his entire purpose in davening, his entire purpose was just for himself. He wasn't davening, he was just davening for himself. He wasn't davening for doing it with altruistic purpose. Ask the Gemara, or man David Hachi, and if somebody acts in such a manner, lav mal yusuhi, is that not the proper way to act? V'tanya, the Brisa teaches us, how I'm a seller zul at tzedakah. If somebody says I'm donating a certain amount for tzedakah, b'shvil sheyichye b'ni, in order that my son should survive, or b'shvil sheeskevel l'chaya l'olam haba, because I give tzedakah, I should be zoichet l'chaya l'olam haba, harei zeh tzadik gomer. And the way Rashi explains that if he does it on a regular basis, then he is considered a tzadik gomer. And the Yaivitz explains that what does Rashi mean? That if somebody does this on a regular basis, he accumulates schusim. We know that every time somebody does a mitzvah, he gets a schus for doing that mitzvah. And somebody who does this on a regular basis will be getting a schus. And because he's getting a schus, that's why those schusim accumulate. But what we see from this Gemara very clearly, that if somebody does this, is acting appropriately. Other Rishonim explain that he's a tzadik gomer, doesn't mean he's a tzadik gomer just because he does this. He's a tzadik gomer in this mitzvah, but not that he does everything, that doesn't make him into a perfect tzadik. The Rabbeinu Chananel, because of that question, has a different explanation. He says, "Arezu tzdaka gemura." His explanation is that somebody who acts this way is considered that he's doing a full-fledged act of tzedakah. So we see the giving it, even for a purpose, is not. There's nothing wrong. So why are we considered kairish, the yavish, as having been achmetz because he did this? Answers the Gemara Lakasha. Can be Yisrael, by Yisrael who gives tzedakah on such circumstances, it's a mitzvah, can by the kachavim. And the way the Rishonim explains, if a Yisrael or gives tzedakah on this purpose, then even if what he asked for doesn't happen, he doesn't regret the tzedakah that he gave. Umas ha'olam, if they gave tzedakah for a specific purpose, and then the purpose that they gave the tzedakah for doesn't happen, they regret giving the tzedakah. And the Ritva explains, what's the difference? So the Ritva explains, because the Yisrael recognizes that even if what he asked for doesn't happen, it's maybe in this world, but we believe in Olam Haba. And we believe that whatever, even if we don't have schar in this world, we'll have the schar in the Olam Haba. Others explain that when Yisrael gives tzedakah in order that his son should survive, what is his goal? What is his reasoning? He's giving the tzedakah so his children should be Ovdei Hashem Yirei Shemayim. That is obviously not the intention of the Umas Olam, and therefore, because that's not the intention of the Umas Olam, that's why it's not what to be explained. So Tosfos asks a question. Tosfos says, we know the Mishnah, Perkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, teaches us, Al tiyu kavodim hamashamshim asarav amanas l'kabel pras. So we're not supposed to do mitzvahs for the purpose of getting schar. And here we're seeing that people are doing mitzvahs for the purpose of getting schar. So he explains that that when somebody does a mitzvah, it's referring, the Mishnah is referring to somebody who does a mitzvah like with ulterior motives, like we just explained that the Umas HaOlam have. It doesn't mean that a person is not allowed to have that motive, but way we just explained the difference between Yisrael and Akum. Another explanation that the Chiddush HaRan gives, there's a difference between a tzaddik and a chassid. A tzaddik, even if somebody gives tzedakah with an ulterior motive, he could still be considered a tzaddik. But he can't be considered a chassid. And the Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, is referring to how somebody can be considered a chassid. The Gra gives a different explanation. The Gra says that the Gemara Masechta Tainis Daf Tesa Min Aleph teaches us that when somebody gives Maaser versus all other mitzvahs, he's allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu to see whether he's allowed to test HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As the Pasuk says, Aser tis Aser. Aser b'shvil tis Asher. A person is allowed to give tzedakah for the purpose of getting wealthy. And as the Pasuk says in Malachi, B'chanuni na b'zois. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol says, you could test me. So says the Gra. If somebody's allowed to give tzedakah for the purpose are becoming wealthy, somebody is allowed to give tzedakah also that his son should become well. The Mishnah in Masechta Avos that Tosfos quotes is referring to all other mitzvahs, but not to the mitzvah of tzedakah. Tzedakah is a unique mitzvah. Another explanation that I saw is what's Pshat HaOmer Sel Zul Tzedakah. Somebody wants to give tzedakah. However, the Yetzer Hara tries to convince him not to give tzedakah. So how is he able to prevail over the Yetzer Hara? The way he's able to prevail over the Yetzer Hara is saying, I'm giving it for an ulterior motive. So somebody is giving for an ulterior motive, is saying it, Haimer, he's only saying it. And the only reason he's saying it is to be able to have the Yetzer Hara not stop him from giving the tzedakah. But he knows that he really wants to give the tzedakah, then it's considered that he's a tzaddik gomer. The Tefanim has a different explanation. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants what's best for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our children to be well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tzedakah. So when you give tzedakah with that purpose, so you're doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants. And that's why you consider it tzaddik gomer. I saw that Satmar Rebbe has a different explanation. He says, based on the famous Rambam in Hilchos Gittin Perek Beis, Halacha Chof, the Gemara says that under certain circumstances, we could force a person to give a get. Kaifanai, so we force him, Achi Yoimir Roitzani, until he says, I want to do this. So the question is, how can we do so? So the Rambam, in his very famous explanation, explains that really every Jew wants to do what's right. The Yetzer Hara is what stops him. So says the Satmar Rebbe, Haima, somebody says, I'm giving this money for tzedakah, b'shil shiyichi b'ni. And as Tosfos points out, it looks like he has an ulterior motive. Says the Satmar Rebbe, can be Yisrael. Know that every Jew, as the Rambam teaches us, really has the intention to do what's right. So even if it looks like he's doing it with an ulterior motive, that's not the way a Jew does a mitzvah. When a Jew does a mitzvah, he's certainly doing it with the most proper intention. Another pshat that I saw is that people obviously are embarrassed to take tzedakah. So here I want to give tzedakah to the poor person, but he's embarrassed to take. So I tell the ani, I'm giving tzedakah not because of you. I'm giving tzedakah because it's good for me. It's good that because by my giving tzedakah, my son will be healthy. I'll have panasa. So you're doing me a favor. So he's only doing it because he's giving the tzedakah, he's doing it this way in order to make that the poor person should feel good. If he's giving tzedakah in that way, then it's okay. Another pshat that the Kedusha Slavi explains, that Yichya B'ni, why does a person give tzedakah for his son to be well? Why does he want that his son should be well? He's saying he wants us to be well because he should be able to learn Torah and do mitzvahs. So that's not an ulterior motive. That's a fantastic motive. You want your children to be healthy, to be Ovdei Hashem. You want to be healthy. You want to have panosah, to be able to do mitzvahs. That isn't considered an ulterior motive. The Ramei Shapiro, the Lublin Rav, Rashi says, Harogel. So he says, of course, Tosfos' point is well taken. But Tosfos, he says, if what the Gemara means is, Harogel, if somebody becomes accustomed to giving tzedakah in such a way, even though he does it b'shvil shiyichya b'ni, but we have a rule, b'toich shaloi l'shma ba l'shma. If somebody does something shaloi l'shma, ultimately he'll do it l'shma. And that's pshat in our Gemara. Yes, the first time maybe he gave the tzedakah, he gave it with an ulterior motive. But since he continues to give it on that way, the halacha is that he's considered that ultimately he'll give tzedakah, like Tosfos says, with the most proper intention. From here we see the Paiskim say that the mitzvah tzedakah may be different than other mitzvahs. By other mitzvahs, the mitzvah is performed by doing the mitzvah, by doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do. And therefore, as we've discussed many times, there's a concept in performance of mitzvahs, a mitzvah tzriches kavanah. But it could be over here where somebody is giving tzedakah, it could be over here where a mitzvah tzedakah, as long as I am giving tzedakah, and by me giving the tzedakah, this person has benefit from giving tzedakah, has benefit from me. So the mitzvah tzedakah has been performed. This person who receives the tzedakah is getting the benefit of the tzedakah, and it could be even if I didn't give it with the proper intention, and that's pshat in the Gemara, raise that tzad the Gemara. At the end of the day, the person who needed the money, that needed the tzedakah, got the tzedakah, and that's why the person who acts that way is considered a raise that tzad the Gemara. Vibay Seima, continues the Gemara, Manolan the Achmetz, from where do we see that Daryovich was not the way he should have been throughout? The Ksiv, it says in the letter that he sent to Ezra. Nidbachin de Avon Gelola Tulasa. He gave the instructions exactly how the Beis HaMikdash should be built. And he said there should be three rows of stone. For Nidba de Ochados. And there should be a row of new wood. For Nafkum Beis Malkadis Yaev. And the expense of building the Beis HaMikdash should come from my treasury. And asked the Gemara, why did he put this row of wood amongst the rows of stone? Sover, because he had an intention that he murdered by Yehudoi. If the Jews rebel against me, Iklai Benura, it'll be easy for me to burn the Beis HaMikdash because I will have the wood that's easily flammable. But asked the Gemara, Otto Shlomo Lavavarachi, when Shlomo HaMelech built the base, his Beis HaMikdash, did he not build the Beis HaMikdash in a similar fashion? The Ksiv, it says, and regarding the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, Shloshet Tor Gozes, three rows of Gozes stones, the Tor Karsus Arazim, and one row of Arazim wood. Answers the Gemara, Shlomo Ovid Memala, Shlomo put the row of wood on top of the stone, the Ovid Memata, but he put the row of stone on the bottom, which make it more flammable, because that's where you have the foundation of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be easier to build, it would be easier to burn. Shlomo Shaka B'Binyonai, furthermore, Shlomo put this wood row deep into the walls, so they weren't easily accessible. Iyu L'Shaka B'Binyonai, whereas the Yavish did not put it deep into the row of the wall, Shlomo Sadya B'Sida, Shlomo Mel covered the wood row with plaster, not easily accessible. Iyuloi Sadi Besada, Kairish did not do so. Rav Yosef Itema, Rav Yitzchak, Minolan Dachmetz, he brings a different raya that he didn't act appropriately. Mihocha. The Pasuk says, V'yoymeli HaMelech, we quoted this Pasuk in our previous year, V'yoymeli HaMelech v'ashegel yosheves etzloi. I was speaking to the king and the shegel was sitting next to him. Asked him, Ramai Shegel, what is the definition of a Shegel? Omer Rabba Barlemi Mishmei Derav, Kalbasa. He had a dog with whom he had relations. Of course, somebody acts in that way is not living the way a person is supposed to live. Elma Ato asked the Gemara, Hodiksev, the Pasuk speaks about Daniel speaking to Belshazzar. And the Pasuk says, Vamala Yishamayim Rasur Mamta, you try to be arrogant against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ulema'ani de Beis Yisiv Kadmach, and the Kalim from the Beis HaMikdash you brought to you, v'ant ravavnach, you and your ministers, shagol scha, v'nechnoscha, chan v'shasi behind. You drink wine in the cups that you brought from the Beis HaMikdash. So ask the Gemara, is shagol kalbasahi, if shagol means a dog, kalbasa bas mishti chamri, is she capable? Is a dog capable of drinking wine? Ask the Gemara, Holokasha. Ask the Gemara, that we could answer, the mouthful of a Shasya. That dog was trained to be able to drink wine. Ask the Gemara a different question. Elam Ata Diksiv. The Pasuk says in Tehillim, Benois Melochim Bikaresecha, the daughters of the king glorify you, Nitzva Shegli Mincha, a shegel sits to your right, kesem ofer, wearing a gold necklace. Ask the Gemara, v'shegel kalbasahi, if we're saying that the shegel means a dog, ma'akam avasal Navi Yisrael, what is the good news that the Navi is giving Klal Yisrael, that that's the way the king of Klal Yisrael is going to sit with a shegel? Answers the Gemara, hachkam, schash chavivit Torah Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael loved the Torah, like the Ovid Kachavim loved their Shegel, that's why Klai Yisrael will be Zoicha, Zechisa Mechesim Offer. Vibay Seima, Loilam Shegel Malkasihi. The Shegel does mean a queen. The Rabba, Barlema, Gemara Gamerle. He had a Kabbalah, he had a Mesorah, that this is the way to understand the Pasuk. My Karle Shavel, why is the Pasuk called Shegel? Shaisa Vilok Shegel, that the queen was beloved, that the dog was beloved to him, just like the queen was beloved to him. Inami, sheshiva, what the pasuk means to say is that he put his dog down, but makom shegel, in the place where the queen normally sits. Ibai seima, another raya, says the Gemara, Manolan Dachmetz, how do we know that the Yavish wasn't at the end the way he was at the beginning? Mehocha. The pasuk says, as he sent provisions for the Beis HaMikdash. Ad Kesef Kikrin Meya, he sent 100 kikur of silver, Vat Chintin Kikrin Meya, and 100 kurim of wheat, Vat Chamar Batin Meya, 100 batim of wine, Vat Batin Meshach Meya, and 100 batim of oil, Umelech Delay Kosov, and as much salt as they needed. But says the Gemara, originally we found that he provided them without any limit. And now we find, says the Gemara, that he was already starting to limit. The Hashta Bikitsusa, now he's starting to limit how much he's providing them. Ask the Gemara, why is that a raya, the Achmetz? The Dima, Mikara, Laiva Kimla Bikitsusa. At the beginning, he didn't know how much they needed. And because he didn't know how much they needed, that's why that he provided them, we didn't give them a limit. But now that he did know, so he gave them according to what their needs are. But it isn't necessarily an indication, the achmetz, says the Gemara, El Machvat Kishani Mikara, we have to use one of the previous terutzim that we used to prove the achmetz. We learned in the Mishnah that Echa Rosh Nisan is Rosh Hashanah L'Golem. Ask the Gemara, L'Golem B'Echa B'Nisan Hu, is Rosh Chodesh Nisan the Rosh Hashanah L'Golem? Ask the Gemara, B'chamisha Asa B'Nisan Hu. The first regular, as we're going to be speaking extensively now in the Gemara, we're going to be speaking about Baal Ta'achar, starts on Pesach, which is 15 days in Nisan. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, what the Mishnah meant to say was, Regal Shabai Rosh Hashanah L'Regolim. What the Mishnah said is that on Chodesh Nisan begins the month where you're going to have the Yontif, which is the first of the Yom Tovim when we speak about Rosh Hashanah L'Regolim. Ask the Gemara, what does it mean when we say Nafkamina, when it says Rosh Hashanah L'Regolim? Says the Gemara, it means L'Noider. If somebody makes a nether, if somebody makes a nether, he has to pay it up in a timely fashion. And if he doesn't pay it up in a timely fashion, he's over Baal Ta'achar. And it's following the opinion of Rav Shimon He that we're going to learn soon how it comes out to be, according to him, a nether. So the Pnei Yeshua asks that we're going to learn in the Gemara that as soon as one lets one yontif pass, he's over an essay. The lois essay about ta'achar only happens after shalosh regalim. So the question is, why is the Gemara saying that it's three regalim? It's one yontif. So the Pnei Yeshua says that there's a very big nafgamina between the mitzvah essay that he's over after one yontif and the lois essay about ta'achar after three yontifim. He says that the mitzvah essay one only violates if he was there on Yontif, could have brought the carbon, and didn't bring the carbon. But if somebody wasn't there, he wouldn't violate the mitzvah saseh. Whereas the mitzvah loisa say about the acher that we're learning about, one violates even if he wasn't there. If three yom tovim passed, and he didn't pay the pledge that he was supposed to, he's over baal ta'achar. The Tanya, as the Brisa teaches us, Echer Anoider, if somebody makes a nether, he says that I'm going to give my value to the Beis HaMikdash. Or he's Magdish, a object to the Beis HaMikdash. Or Marach, we know that the Torah Gedosha teaches us in Parshas B'chukosai that every person, according to their gender and age, has a specific Erech. Kivim of Shavish Regalim, if three Regalim pass, and he didn't pay his debt, he's over Baal Ta'achar. He's over Baal Ta'achar. Shimon Omer, Shloish Rugon Kasidrim. They have to go in a specific order. Shchaga Mitzvah Tchila, Pesach, Shavuos Sukkos. And therefore says the Gemara, Kein Hayar of Shimon Ben Yechai Omer, Regalim, to be over Baal Ta'achar, sometimes it's Pamim Shloisha, Pamim Arba, sometimes you are over it with after three yom time from when you made your pledge, if you made your pledge before Pesach. Sometimes it's four, or pamim chamisha. And the Gemara explains itself. Ketzad, not lefnei Pesach, somebody made the pledge before Pesach, so after Pesach, Shavuos Sukkos, he's over Baal Ta'achar. If he made the nether before Shavuos, lefnei Atzeres, chamisha, you'll have Shavuos, Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Lefnei Chag, if he made the neder before Pesach, before Sukkos, so it's going to be Arba, Sukkos, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. And that's what our Gemara is speaking about when we speak about being noid about Baal Ta'achar. The question is all Nedarim, is there a din of Baal Ta'achar? A big machlokes Rishonim. The Ritva says that this doesn't apply, that this applies by all Nedarim. If I made a pledge that I'm going to pay you something, I'm going to give you something, we have the lav of Baal Ta'achar. The Meiri says, as it seems to be in our Gemara, that it only applies by Nidrei Tzedakah or Hekdesh, but not by a neder that one person makes with another. I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed makes a very interesting point. He says that even though we're learning in our Gemara about the lav about Ta'achar and how somebody has to be careful to pay up his debts in a timely fashion, he says, especially according to the Ramban that we just learned, one can have the following situation. It's Sukkos, and somebody comes home from shul on Sukkos, and we know when you come home from shul on Sukkos, the first night, if it's raining, the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, one should wait even up to Chatzos to be able to eat in the Sukkah. But this person, as is most appropriate, brought guests home for the Sukkah. And these guests, he promised them a meal. And as we're going to learn, for tzedakah, if you have guests available, you have to give them the tzedakah immediately. So as much as there's a point to want to eat in the Sukkah, and the first night of Sukkot particularly, but if it's at the expense of Baal Ta'achar, of the mitzvah tzedakah, then you should give them to eat and not be concerned about the mitzvah tzedakah. And then begins the braisa, Tana Rabbanan, Chayova Adami, somebody, as we just said Domei Olai, he said he's going to give his value to the Beis HaMikdash, Ve'erichin, or he expressed that he's going to give his Erech, or Charomim. We know there are two types of Charomim, the Schermei Bedekabayis, and the Schermei Kohanim. Sometimes the Cherim is given to the Koyin, sometimes the Cherim is given to the Beis HaMikdash, or Agdashis, of somebody who's magdish something to the Beis HaMikdash, Chatos Vashamas, somebody who was obligated to bring a Karban Chatos or bring a Karban Osham, Oilos Vashlomim, somebody obligated themselves to bring a Karban Oil or Karban Osham, and Tzedakos, or somebody obligated himself to give Tzedakah. And here the Rishonim have a very big discussion. When is from our Braisa, it seems that the halacha by tzedakah, if somebody promises to give tzedakah, has the same halacha as by all other things when we speak about the lav about ta'achar. But the Rishonim asks that we're going to learn, Mitzvah Shem, on the Avava Man Aleph, that when somebody has to give tzedakah, he has to give tzedakah immediately, because the aniyim are there, the poor people are there, as we just discussed, and they're waiting for your tzedakah. So how do we reconcile that with this braisa? So the Rambam and the Ran say that tzedakah you have to give immediately. When the Braisa says that one is over Baal Ta'achar tzedakah, he says it's not referring to tzedakah. Tzedakah, when it comes to aniyim, you're over Baal Ta'achar immediately. Tosfos and the Ritva says there's a difference. If there are aniyim here, if there are poor people here who are available to give tzedakah, so there, Rav indeed teaches us in that Vav, the one is obligated to give the tzedakah immediately. But if there are no aniyim here, so you're not over until Gimel Regalim. The Rid and the Rashba says no, that you're not over by tzedakah either, as the Braisa teaches us, until Gimel Regalim. Rav says in that Vav that you have to give the tzedakah to the aniyim immediately. Rav is referring there, says the Rashba, to the chiyuv of moitzis v'sachat tishmar. That if you said you're going to do something, you have to do it. And if there's an ani available to give him the tzedakah immediately, you should give him the tzedakah immediately. Continues the braisa or maisris. If somebody separated maisr rishon or maisr sheni or maisr ani, he has to give immediately. So Tosfos asks, why doesn't the Mishnah mention, why doesn't the Braisa also mention Truma Bikurim? So Tosfos says that Truma Bikurim are included including Meiser. That's why Truma wasn't mentioned separately. Regarding Bikurim, he says that Bikurim have an entirely different halakha, because we know that Bikurim are brought Shavuos, but if they're not brought Shavuos, you have the opportunity till Sukkos to bring it, and when you bring it, you could still say the parasha Mikra Bikurim. If you don't bring it by Sukkos, you have till Chanukah to bring it, and if you don't bring it by Chanukah, but if you bring it between Sukkos and Chanukah, you could bring the Bikurim, but no longer say the Mikra, the parasha. And therefore, since Bikurim have a different halacha than for the Mishnah that mentioned, the Braisa did not mention Bikurim. Tosfos also asks, how could the Braisa say that regarding Maestris, this man is Sholosh Regolim to be over the halacha of Baal Ta'achar? The Torah says that Erev Pesach of the fourth year and the seventh year of the Shemitah cycle is the time when we do Vidui Maaser, and part of the Vidui Maaser is we say Bi'arti HaKodesh Min Abayis. We gave away all the Maaser. So why, as Tosfos, as this price is saying that it's Sholosh Regalim? So Tosfos says that there's two separate halachas. There the halacha is that if somebody didn't separate his Maaser, he has to make sure that by Erev Pesach of the fourth year and Erev Pesach of the seventh year, he has separated all of the Maaseris that he's obligated to separate. Here, when we're talking about Baal Ta'achar, we're talking about a person who did separate his Maaser. And the Torah is teaching us that you have, if you separated your Maaser, you have to give it in a timely fashion within Sholosh Regalim. Another pshat that I saw, The halacha is that the Sholosh Regalim is if we notify the Levi that I have Maaser for you. If I notify the Levi that I have Maaser for you, I have to give it to him after the Sholosh Regalim. And in fact, the Chazon Ish says that if somebody did not give the Maaser the way he's supposed to, just we gave examples, how somebody was over about to Acher in giving his Maaser, if he didn't give his Maaser in the proper way, the halacha, if he didn't give his Maaser in the proper way, he was over Baal Ta'achar, he can't say the Vidui Maaser. Because part of the nusach of the Vidui Maaser is that he says, Lo yavarti mimimitzvasecha. I didn't violate any mitzvahs. And here, I violated a mitzvah by being over Baal Ta'achar. Bechor, the halacha is that we have to give a bechor to the kohen, and if you didn't, within Sholosh Regalim, you're over Baal Ta'achar. There's a machloikus rishonim, what is meant when the Gemara speaks here about a bechor. Some rishonim mean that I, the Yisrael, who have a bechor born, have to give it to the kohen within Sholosh Regalim. Others say it's referring to the kohen. For as we discussed, the halacha is that the kohen, b'zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, received the bechor, had to take that bechor to the Beis HaMikdash and bring it like a Karban Shlomim. And if he doesn't do so within Sholosh Regalim, he's over Baal Ta'achar. Meister Behema, we spoke about at the beginning of the Shir, Pesach, if he didn't bring, the Gemara is going to speak about Pesach, has to be brought Erev Pesach. And the halacha is Lekit Shichlopeya, that fool, that Matnas Aniyim. The halacha is Kivish Overlaim Sholosh Regalim, even according to the Tanakh Kama, any Sholosh Regalim, over Baal Ta'achar, you're over Baal Ta'achar. So the Rishonim ask, we don't understand Lekut Shichlopeya. Lekut Shichlopeya is not something that the owner gives to the Aniyim. It's something that falls, and the Aniyim have a right to come and take. Where is it possible to be over Baal Ta'achar? So Tosfos answers that what happened over here was that the owner, not acting appropriately, did not just leave the Lekut Shichlopeya in the field for Aniyim, but rather what happened was he took it in. And he took it in, he has to give it immediately, then he has to make sure to give it to Aniyim, but he has to give it within Sholosh Regalim. The Ran gives a different teretz. The Ran says that it's speaking about a case where there are no Aniyim. So if there are no Aniyim, it sits there, but the responsibility of the owner is within Shalosh Regalim to make sure that the Niyim receives them. A similar teretz that the Rishonim give is that if somebody collected Matnas Aniyim on behalf of another Ani, he, Baruch Hashem, doesn't need Matnas Aniyim, but he collected Matnas Aniyim on behalf of another Ani, that the halacha is, he has to make sure to deliver it to those Aniyim within the Shalosh Regalim. And as we just said, according to the Tanakhama, the halacha is any Shalosh Regalim in no specific order. However, Rav Shimon Omer, Shal Shugalim Pesidron, they have to go in a specific order. V'chad matzis tchila. Rameyer Omer kivin sh'avaleim regel achad. Rameyer is stricter, and he says, as soon as one yom passes, you're over about to achar. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer kivin rav shnei regolim. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says that as soon as two yom tovim pass, you're over about to achar. Rav Elazar ben Shimon Omer kivin sh'avaleim chag sukkos. Chag sukkos is the defining yomtiv. Ask the Gemara, my time of the Tanakhama, what is the reason that the Tanakhama says that you have to have Shol Shugolim? So he quotes the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Shomer es Chodesh Aviv, Vasisa Pesach Lashem Elokecha, Vasisa Chag Shavuos, and then the Pasuk says, Vasisa Chag Shavuos Lashem Elokecha, and then the Pasuk says, Chag Asukos Taslcha Shivas Yomim, and then the pasuk says Shalosh Pam B'Shana Yiroah Kol Zuchur Chas Pnei Hashem Elokecha B'Mokim Sheyivchar B'Chag HaMatzos B'Chag HaShavuos B'Chag HaSukkos V'Lo Yiroah Pnei Hashem Reikom. Ask the Gemara, Michti Menayu Solik. We just spoke about the Shalosh Regalim. Lomalil Meheder Michtiv. What does the Torah have to repeat and say B'Chag HaMatzos B'Chag HaShavuos B'Chag HaSukkos? Shma Mina. The pasuk here is coming to teach us that only when three Yom Tovim pass are you over Baal Ta'achr. So I saw that the Rishonim debate, here the Torah says the three Yom Tovim have to pass. The Tanakam requires three Yom Tovim have to pass. Does that mean three Yom Tovim? What about Rosh Hashanah? What about Yom Kippur? So the Sfasemis and the Turi Emes even say Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not considered Shalosh Regalim, and they're certainly not in this count. The question that they do discuss, that the Turi Evan discusses, what happens if Shavuos falls on Shabbos? So on Shabbos, we can't bring, as we've learned previously, we can't bring all the types of Kabbanis that we normally want to bring. So what would be the halacha if Shavuos fell on Shabbos? Do you get one more yontif according to the Tanakhama? Turi Evan asks, or maybe not. Rav Shimon, who says that there has to be three Yom Tovim, but not just three Yom Tovim, but in the order that they're mentioned in the Torah, he says, "Ein tzarach loyim b'chag sukkos." There's no reason, even if the Torah wants to repeat the Yom Tovim, there's no reason for the Torah to repeat the Yom Tov of Sukkos. Shabbat Diba Akosu, the Pasuk is speaking about Sukkos. V'lom anamar, why did the Torah repeat Chag Sukkos? Loimish is a Akron. That this is the last of the three of Tovim. It goes in the order Pesach Shavuos Sukkos. V'remei Ma'atama, who says, as soon as one Yontif passes, Yo'ev Baltacha, the Ksiv, the Pasuk says, Ki im al-mokka m'shivcha Hashem al-keichem, b'kol shiftechem, losu m'shmo yishom, l'shichna tridushu v'as ha-shama, v'aves ha-shama. The Torah says, u'vas ha-shama, v'aves ha-shama. Every yontov you have to come. So as soon as you come, you have to bring your karbonis. And if you don't, you're over baal ta'achr. Rabbanon, who don't agree, hahu, that pasuk that says that you're over after one yontov is for a different purpose. Let's say, as we mentioned earlier, that you're over a mitzvah say as soon as one yontov passes. The baal ta'achr, which is a mitzvah lois say, is only after three yontovim. Rameyer, who says that you're over baal ta'achr even after one yontov, explains, kivad amalei rachman asei, everybody is now agreeing that you have to, l'chatchila, the mitzvah say, is to bring your obligations on the first yontov. So Ramei says, if the Torah says you have to bring, and Loya is saying you didn't, memei l'koyelei baal ta'achr, so obviously you're going to be over baal ta'achr. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov that said, two Yom Tovim, my Tama, where does he get two Yom Tovim? So he says, the Ksiv, the Torah, when it speaks about the Musaf that's brought on Yontif, Elu Tasul Hashem B'Ma'adeichem. The Torah uses the word Ma'adeichem, Loshin Rabim, So we learn miyat mayadim, the miyat of whenever we have a plural word, it means at least twice. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan who say three yom tovim, what are they going to do with this limud? They use it for a different purpose. Ha'ulacha Reb Yoina, they use it to teach us what Reb Yoina taught us. Dam Reb Yoina, kuk shekolam adam kulam zelazeh, that all the Karban Musaf, the Pasuk says regarding the Karban Musaf, Eilu tasul Hashem b'mayadeichem, to come teach us that all the Karban Musafs that are brought on Yom Tovim are brought for the same purpose. Shekulam mechaperim al tumas migdash kedoshav. They all are mechaperim. Somebody entered the Beis HaMikdash or ate kachim without realizing that he was tamei. That means he knew he was tamei, and he forgot that he was tamei, and he entered the Beis HaMikdash and then realized that he had entered the Beis HaMikdash when he was tamei, or he knew he was tamei, he ate kachim b'tuma, and then he realized that he did it. Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, my tama, where does he learn that you're not over Baal Ta'achar, the yontif that makes the difference for Baal Ta'achar is the yontif of Sukkos? The Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, Omer, Loyoy Mechag Sukkos, the pasuk that we mentioned before, the Torah, why did the Torah have to repeat Chag HaSukkos? The parish over there is speaking about Chag HaSukkos. Shabbai Deir Ba'akosif. V'lom HaNemar. Why did the Torah repeat Chag HaSukkos? Loi Meshazer Goyim. To teach us that the Yontif of Chag HaSukkos is the Yontif that is most important that we have to follow. V'remei Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. Hai B'Chag HaMatz B'Chag HaShavuos B'Chag HaSukkos. That they hold that you're over Baal Ta'achar, even if three Yom Tovim have not passed. What do they learn from the pasuk that says over b'chag matzah, b'chag shavuos, b'chag sukkos? My darshbei answers the Gemara. Mebayle Reb Elazar amr b'ayisha. Dam Reb Elazar b'ayisha. Menayin latzeres sheyesh leitashlum kal shiva. How do we know that yontif shavuos, which midaraisa, is only a 1 day yontif? How do we know that if you didn't bring your kabbonis on the first day, the oilus ria, the shalmi chagiga, if you didn't bring it on that day of yontif, you have another? You have up to 7 days to bring it. Tamalaymer, b'chag shavuos, b'chag matzis, b'chag shavuos, b'chag sukkos. Makash chag shavuos l'chag matzis. The Torah compares shavuos to matzis. Ma chag mitzvos, just like Pesach, we know is a 7 day yontif, and therefore our lock is if you didn't bring the kabbonis on the first day yontif, yesh leitashlum kol shiva. You have all seven. You have till the end of Pesach to make it up. Av chag shavuos. Yesh lo tashlum kol shiva, you have the rest, you have another 6 days, a total of 7 days to make it up. There's an interesting machlokes achroinim, and that is if the Gemara clearly says that shvuos has tashlumim for a total of 7 days. The question is, does that rule apply bizman hazeh? Bizman hazeh, we're not bringing kabbonis, so maybe there ought not to be a din of tashlumim for shvuos. The Magen Avraham, however, says that the halacha is that there is, we do follow tashlum for shavuos, and therefore the Magen Avraham says we don't say tachnun for the 6 days after shavuos, and so too the Chayk Yaakov says even a bigger chiddush. The Chayk Yaakov says that if somebody did not say shachiyonu on shavuos, so he can make it up for the 6 days after shavuos. But there are others that say since this halacha is primarily built around kabbonis, so only when kabbonis are brought is there a halach of tashlumim. Bezman hazeh, where there are no kabbonis, there's no tashlumim to shavuos. But ask the Gemara, if we're learning the halach of tashlumim because we're comparing shavuos to Pesach, ask the Gemara, v'lekish l'chag sukkos. So why don't we compare it to sukkos? And sukkos is 8 days. Mal alin shmoina, af kan shmoina. Answers the Gemara, shmini regel b'fnei atzmai. Shmini Atzeres is an independent yontif. Shmini Atzeres is not considered a continuation of yontif sukkos. Rashi explains that ein shem chag sukkos olav. It's not called sukkos, but he doesn't explain what that means. But a mesechta sukkah, he explains that you don't sit on the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. Another pshat that Taisa suggests is that on Shmini Atzeres, by davening and by benching, we don't say Yom Chag HaSukkos, we speak about Shmini Atzeres. Ask the Gemara, Eimad Amrin Shmini Regel B'fnei Atzmai, yes, Shmini Atzeres is considered an independent yontif. But that, says the Gemara, is L'inyan Pizar Kshav. Pizar means pious, that they used to make a goyro. And as we learned in Masechta Sukkah, there's a discussion in Masechta Sukkah if they how did they make the goyro? Did they make a goyro at all during the first days of Sukkot? As we know, there was a big abundance of kabbanis, or did they not make a goyro? But even if we hold that they made a goyro, the goyro that was made on the first day on Shmini Atzeres started from scratch and had no connection to Sukkot. Zman, that means that we make a new shechianu on Shmini Atzeres. And that's why the Beis Yosef says we could understand the minig. There are people, we in Chutz Laretz, the Gemara says, should sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara says, Yisuvi Yisvinan, we sit in the sukkah at Shmini Atzeres. However, Bracha Leim Avarchinan, we don't make a Leisha B'sukkah. Says the Beis Yosef, there are those that have a minig that they sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres by day, but not by Shmini Atzeres by night. And he says, why? Because since our Gemara just taught us that Shmini Atzeres by night, we have to make a Shechiyanu. And we're making the Shechiyanu, even we in Chutz Laretz, on the Yontiv of Shmini Atzeres. So how can we make a Shechiyanu on the Yontiv of Shmini Atzeres and sit in the Sukkah? So therefore, they don't sit in the Sukkah at night, they sit in the Sukkah by day. Reish stands for Regel. We gave the various explanation. Another explanation they saw is regarding two explanations. The Ramban says that Shmini Atzeres takes away Hilchas Avelis. Another explanation, he says, that according to the opinions that we learned, that you're over Baal Ta'achar after one or two Yom Tovim, Shmini Atzeres regal b'fnei atzmai, that it's considered a regal according to those opinions, and after that one regal, you're ready over Baal Ta'achar. Carbon is, as we just mentioned, Sukkos, there were 70 Purim brought to correspond to the 70 Umas Olam. That wasn't done on Shmini Atzeres. There were separate Kabbanis on Shmini Atzeres. Shear, Shin, stands for the Shear. The Shear that the Levi said on Sukkos, all the Shearim, as we learned in Masechta Sukkah, Daf Mem Zayin, represent the Matnas Anayim. On Shmini Atzeres, they did not say a Shear that was relevant to the halachos of Matnas Anayim. They said the Parak and Tehillim Lametzeach al Hashminis. Rabbi Natam explains that on Sukkot, as we learned there in Masechta Sukkah at the end of the Masechta, some days we only said a half a Parak. On Shmini Atzeres we said a whole Parak. Bracha means that on the last day of Shmini Atzeres they made a special bracha to honor the king. That's where it's unique. Avli and Tashlumim. When we speak about Tashlumim, the Reako Tashlumim the Rishon Hu. Shmini Atzeres, if you did not bring Kabbonis on Sukkos, you can make it up even on Shmini Atzeres. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Chagiga Daf Tesom and Aleph teaches us, Mishloi Chag Yontav Rishon Shel Chag. If somebody did not bring his Kabbonis on the first day of Sukkos, Chagig as Kol HaRegel, he can make it up the entire Yontav Sukkos, the Yontav Achron Shel Chag, and also on Shmini Atzeres. So we see that Sukkos has a total of 8 days where you could bring the Kabbonis. So the Gemara's question is, why are we saying that Shavuos has a total of 7 days? Because we're comparing Shavuos to Pesach. Why don't we say that Shavuos should have a total of 8 days and we should compare Shavuos to Sukkos? Answers the Gemara, Tefasta Merba Loi Tefasta, Tefasta Mu'a Tefasta. Now whenever you have a choice and you could take a larger number or a smaller number, we take the smaller number. And the way Rishonim explain it is as follows. If you take the smaller number, it's a safe approach. Because you know for sure, if you say, for example, in our Gemara, 7. So if 7 is a safe number, 8 may be fine, it may not be fine. And therefore, it's better to take the safe number versus the number 8, which maybe the proper comparison should be to Pesach. And if the proper comparison should be to Pesach, it should only be 7. And therefore, tefasta merubah, loy tefasta, tefasta mu'a, tefasta.